Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Paul Bies of Mystique Brand Communications. Mystique is a brand development firm with a passion for helping small businesses grow. Small and not so small business owners and managers come to Mystique with a common drive to take their brand to the next level. Today, we're going to be discussing Paul's journey as an entrepreneur and how he's grown Mystique Brand Communications. Thanks so much for joining us today, Paul.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
Julie, I am in Toronto.
Very nice. Pretty close to home here, just a couple hours away from me. Yeah. And how did you originally get into digital marketing?
It started off as graphic design, actually. Went to school for graphic design. Met my future wife there. And both had a passion for design and started Mystique. Mm-hmm. And it kind of transpired, you know, reinvented ourselves a couple times and took our direct marketing knowledge and applied it to digital once everything kind of went digital.
Yeah. Awesome. So tell me a little bit more about your story about, you know, starting Mystique. What was kind of the deciding factor that, you know, you're going to take the plunge and start your own agency. So tell me a little bit more about that story.
It's actually a very funny way. So I was working for a small ad company in Toronto. My wife was taking a break from the design world and was working for a retail chain in Toronto, high-end fashion, and honing her sales skills. And she hooked up with a manager there. And they basically started talking about Doris was looking at doing some sales for the company I worked for. Mm-hmm. And the other person she was talking with said, well, if you can sell for that company, why don't you start your own company? And so she came home and just said, hey, well, Kathy was talking about this. And she said, well, why aren't we starting our own company? And we kind of looked at each other. We started talking about it. And that was the genesis. We just kind of went, okay, that makes sense. Let's do it on our own. And gave notice. Well, we actually started doing a little bit of freelance. So Doris would go and get some work during the day, bring it home. And then in the evening, I would work on design work back in the day. And mm-hmm. at a certain point, we were just working. I was working day and night. She was doing sales. And it got to be a point where we went on vacation and my body at that point went, yeah, okay, you're relaxing now, you're down. I went down with pneumonia. I was sick as a dog for that vacation, came back and went, okay, we can't be doing both at one time now. We have to make a decision. How are we going to do this? And I gave notice at my company and Mystique was started.
Awesome. I love that story. And then, so when you were first starting out, what were some of the big challenges that you had to overcome?
We didn't know what we were doing. So in design school, they teach you about design. Mm-hmm. They don't teach you that about business and the fact that we started off and we kind of turned down. We said, oh yeah, everybody's saying, well, we'll take unemployment. I go, I'm not taking unemployment. I have a job. This is what it is. We have to sink or swim. And probably a bad mistake at the time, because again, we didn't really understand business. We understood design, but we didn't understand getting paid in 90, 120 days. I mean, that kind of stuff was, we just figured that we would, you know, give them an invoice and they would pay us in 30 days and we would just keep doing that. Mm-hmm. And then the first few projects we had were all pushed to 120 days or 90 days at minimum. And we struggled. So it took us a while to figure out some processes to manage that. It took us longer than we cared to, you know, than it should have, really. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And then, so what would you recommend to other agency owners who are going through the same thing, that their, you know, clients are taking too long to pay their invoices? Are there any tips that you would recommend to them that have worked well for you?
Yeah, we get the money up front. Basically, we cover ourselves now. We charge, depending on the size of the project, anywhere between 35 and 50% up front. Mm-hmm. If it's a small project, we charge 100% up front. Yeah. And you just have to have the confidence that if they have a problem paying you 35, 50% up front, are they going to have a problem paying you when the actual job is due and you've already paid your employees, paid for whatever services you're actually using in that project. So it really is, if you're starting off now, do yourself a favor and put in a process for billing and don't be afraid to ask for money up front.
Yeah, absolutely. If you had one growth tip for any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
One tip. It's got to be to advertise. For the longest time, we didn't need to advertise. We had word of mouth going for the first probably 20 years of our business. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, things change. And all of a sudden we kind of went, well, we're advertising for our clients. Why aren't we doing it for ourselves? So do what you would do for your clients. If you're an agency, put that to work for yourself. And, you know, it sounds basic and simple and, you know, who wouldn't think of that, but we certainly didn't do any advertising to begin with. Now, to be fair, we were a graphic design shop back then, not really a marketing company. So it is a little different, but if you are a digital firm, I mean, it really is a matter of getting your name out there and as many different channels as you can.
Yeah. So yeah, let's talk a little bit more about sales. You know, how are you, I know a lot of your work comes in through referrals, but what are some other ways that you are bringing in leads to your agency and then closing those prospects?
So lead generation is handled on a few different fronts. We spent years optimizing our site. We were doing optimized SEO before it was common knowledge. So our site was always optimized to bring in small businesses looking for brand development. We also do some paid marketing online. We do paid placements on directories. All of that brings us leads. We also do a lot of email marketing through to our existing clients and prospects that we've come across during our years of operation. Mm-hmm. And we use social channels, mostly LinkedIn, to keep telling our story that we milk the prospects that reach out to us there. So the leads come in and we then need to nurture them into a point where they say, okay, now it's time to do business with you. So we'll put them into our marketing automation platform, which happens to be SharpSpring. And depending on who they are, they'll get messages from us on either drip campaigns or just our periodical newsletter. And with typically has offers. And if they happen to go in and say, okay, I want more information about SEO, then they do go on a drip campaign for SEO. If they talk to us about branding, they go on a drip campaign about branding and power. So we nurture a lot of our businesses until they are actually ready to say, okay, Paul, we need to talk.
Okay, cool. And then are there any creative ways that you've come up along the way of ways to nurture that relationship that are a little bit outside of the box?
Not really. I mean, especially it's been more of a challenge now since COVID came across to nurture relationships. We were always have good relationships with our clients. We take them to ball games. We take them to concerts. We have lunch more than anything. We don't do a lot of the entertaining stuff. That's kind of been a lot smaller part of the picture, especially since COVID, but even before COVID, it's not like we entertain a lot. Mm-hmm. But, we just get on the phone. We chat with them. We make sure that they are in our weekly, if not monthly, conversations. There's no magic really for us. It's just a matter of making sure that we maintain relationships. It's all about relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. So how often would you be checking in with your prospects? Is that something you do on like a weekly basis or a monthly basis? Or
no, typically it's a monthly basis, depending on the project. If we've got a project going, then normally that is a weekly process. Mm-hmm. But as things progress with whether it's SEO or paid marketing, it's typically a monthly thing. And it's not even always in person or even on the phone. Mm-hmm. Even though I probably should be doing that more than I am, we will reach out with reports, etc. And if they want to follow up, then we'll do video conferencing a lot more than we have been in the past. Mm-hmm. It really is a case-by-case situation.
Yes, absolutely. Very good. And then I'm always curious, do you have any techniques that you use to create urgency? You've reached a point where they're just kind of on the brink of signing up, but maybe they're just dragging their feet a little bit. Are there any tactics that you use to create urgency?
Not really. We don't get into pricing changes. We are pretty straightforward. We mm-hmm. talk to them about their own deadlines that they've imposed. We'll mention to them that at this point, if we don't get going on this, that their deadlines that we talked about originally are not going to be attainable.
Yep. Oh, but, that's a great strategy.
Yeah, but that's about all we really do. Mm-hmm. If we are not getting responses from emails, we have a few emails that go out to get them to respond. I can't remember the number one. It doesn't really matter at this point. I can't remember the subject lineup, but we do have certain ones that will be for cold lists. We have some urgency emails, but for the other one, it's all about putting their own due dates back on them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know an email that I'll send out that has a pretty good response rate is, if it's, they've raised their hand, they've said they're interested, and then they just haven't been responding for a little while. They haven't been responding to emails. After sending, three or four follow-ups, I'll just say, just reaching out to you one last time. And that tends to get a really good response rate, because then they're like, she's not going to be contacting me anymore. Like, this is done. So that strategy actually surprisingly works really well.
Yeah. And I think sometimes if you're having fun with it too, in certain cases too, they respond. I really wish I looked this up, what the email was. I've got one email that has a very high open rate. Mm-hmm. I'll see if I can look that up in the meantime, but right now it's escaped me what the subject line is.
Sounds good. So do you have any tips for maintaining really happy clients who at the end of the day are going to help bring in referrals for you?
Yeah, just stay in touch. I mean, it really is a matter of making sure that you are top of mind. So clients, we will always talk to them after the fact, say, how did we do? It's what everybody does, which is what you do. It's about finding out how we did in their eyes. You know, is there anything that we could have done differently? Were they happy with the project, whether it's response rate or, you know, rebranding? Because we do a lot of that. So depending on the project, it's just a matter of finding out whether they were happy, whether we could have been better, how can we improve, and using tools to make that easier. We have, we don't use a lot of automated tools for reviews. We've done it in the past, but because our clients are very few, we deal with maybe 10 projects a month, and a lot of that is for the same client. We haven't found that for us, that review software helps. However, you know, our dental clients, our construction clients, we push them to use software that helps automate the process so that they get a lot of reviews. And it really is a matter of just making sure that you are genuinely concerned about improving your service to your client and making sure that they do review you somewhere that people see it. Google reviews help you with SEO. They help you with closing clients. It's part of today's thing where they can sell it better than anybody else as a third party.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. So do you have any tips for being more productive in your day to day?
Yeah, it's write it down, as bad as I am for that. I use my marketing automation platform to keep me honest. I put my project in there. I put my reminders in there. If I don't do reminders, I'll be working on projects where until I get that reminder, I'm going, oh shoot, I do have to do other stuff today. So for me, it's all production is just a matter of having some sort of a system that lets me know that I've got more to do that day. And I try to stagger those notes so they come up every once in a while, even though I've got my day planned out pretty much in the morning. But just so I don't forget it, I absolutely have to send myself lots of reminders from my, either in the calendar, which is typically inside my marketing automation platform.
Very good. So it sounds like you've got that system put in place, which is good.
Yes. Yes.
So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome while you've been growing your agency? And how have you overcome that?
Since day one or currently?
It's a lot. Currently.
The biggest struggle is that's a tough one. In a lot of cases, it is really a matter of getting the workload managed so that we're not letting down our clients. So leads are coming in all the time. The other part of the struggle is getting proposals out on time, because sometimes we get backlogged and there's I handle a lot of the proposal writing. So that even might be the biggest struggle, is keeping up with the demand for proposals. It's, you know, yeah. tough problem to have, but
that's amazing.
That is probably the biggest one. And then once we get those jobs, we are a very lean team, and we're five people, six people sometimes. And we use a lot of freelancers. So sometimes ramping up for projects is also a bit of a struggle to make sure that, you know, our staff goes on vacation, and when you're small, that means you have to have some fallback plans, and that sometimes is a bit of a struggle. So it's having the right freelancers or team that you can rely on when you need to go out of house. And, you know, it more and more we're doing farming certain parts of it out so that we can keep our clients happy.
Very good. So we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but where do you see Mystique in 5 years' time?
5 years. I would say that we will be doing pretty well the same thing. We, you know, our clientele is primarily small business. It's really what we love to work on. We, you know, we do have some large clients too, and they're always nice to have and good to work with. We don't really seek that out, but it definitely comes to us. Mm-hmm. I would imagine we'll be doing the same thing. We might grow a little bit. I'm not getting any younger. We might have to look at an exit strategy. it'll be pretty well the same thing. Business as usual with an eye on exit.
Very good. Is there anything else you would like to add to any agency owners who are listening that you think would be beneficial to them?
Yeah, I guess the one thing that I've had friends and mentors kind of talk to me about over the years is kind of focus. And you can't be everything to everyone. And at a certain point, you have to have some kind of a specialty. Mm-hmm. For us, without restraining what we love to do, and that is develop brands and build them, we decided to focus more on the horizontal plan as far as, and identify a small business as our specialty, as opposed to saying just dentist. Mm-hmm. Although that direction would definitely be easier to market. Mm-hmm. And then for agency owners, I would just basically say, you know, it's about working on the business, not in the business.
Absolutely. Great advice. So we're going to move on to the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions.
Okay.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
There's been many. I would have to go back to one of the ones from years ago, which would have been Richard Branson's Losing My Virginity. You know, the way he dealt with struggle, risking everything. I can kind of relate.
Awesome. Love that. And what does your morning routine look like?
It's funny, now that we have turned into a virtual agency, it's a lot simpler.
Absolutely.
It really is, it really is now shower, got to have coffee, answer emails for however long that takes, 30 minutes, an hour, check in on LinkedIn, check in with the staff, the team, and then once all that's done, get to work.
Love it. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I don't really study anybody. I follow some people. Richard Branson is probably the foremost, maybe Mark Cuban. Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. And what is your favorite online tool?
It's got to be SharpSpring. It's a spot where I can control. I mean, we use it for everything. We use it for email marketing, for visitor ID on our website, integration with forms on our website, drip campaigns. I mean, SharpSpring is the tool that lets me know where my marketing spend is working. I mean, it's a great tool.
Very good. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Oh, I touched on this a little bit earlier. Business knowledge. I mean, when Doris and I started this business, you know, graphic design was our life, but I really wish they had offered us a course on business management. I mean, that would have saved us a lot of struggle.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just take that time to invest in yourself. It's a constant area that you need to be constantly studying anyway. So it's definitely a good skill to have.
It's so true. So true.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Paul. It was a pleasure to have you on the show and I really enjoyed our conversation.
Julie, thank you so much. It was thank you for the opportunity and continued success.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.